Welcome, everybody. Another exciting day full of lots of sports in and around the Lakelands and South Carolina. We'll also dive a little bit today into the Final Four for both the men and the women to go along with all that. And Chris Cox here with me. I'm Tom Carroll. And it has been an absolutely wonderful time here at Michelle's Pizza in McCormick is where we are at today. If you get a chance to come on by, you need to do so. Make it a planned stop on your way down to Augusta, wherever you might be headed, particularly with the Masters getting ready to get set. This would be a perfect opportunity to come on by and experience not only the small town, but some small town flavor as well.
This place, man, I'm going to tell you, Masters we get kicks. And like I said, I'm a little surprised somebody's here right now. But in the past, just going down, coming back, you need somewhere to eat. I mean, because only a let's just be serious. Only a fool is going to stay in Augusta for Masters and try to find something to eat with as many people that are down there. And this place, it's a really good bar area. You had pizza for the first time today.
I did. It was really good. I had the original crust, yep. And it was dynamite. Of course, it's also brick oven pizza.
It is. And like I said, I there's times I call Scott and I say, Smalls, I need a pizza. And on his way home, he'll bring it. So, but yeah, really good place to eat. And like I said, if you're in McCormick for anything, you stop by here. They have a daily lunch special. I noticed David was telling me they got the butts coming on the grill this weekend. So if you want a really good brisket, Boston butt, man, swing on by. I think they're pretty cheap, actually, that you're selling them for. So call, pre-order your butts or whatever you want to do. We get your butt up here.
All right. Well, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. Like I said, we'll get into the Final Fours and what's going on there. We've got the ladies amateur that is going on in golf down there in Augusta. Of course, we're going to be down there. Let's kind of preview it. We're going to be down there, what, Sunday?
Sunday. And then I think you also I like Thursday. I'm going to tell you why, because last year when we were at the Peace, it's the start. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you get to see a lot. We didn't, you know, we're not there enough to see the first four guys tee off by nothing like that. But, and if you ever do get that experience, like, I keep seeing first time people going to it. That's something I would do for the first time. Tee off will be at like 7. Mm-hmm. Get out of your hotel room, wherever you're at. If you want a first time experience doing anything, start with that tee off. And I don't remember who's doing it this year. It might be Crenshaw. And I don't think Nicholas does it. I think it's Crenshaw and. It's a shame I don't remember Tom Carroll. But anyway, it'll start the tournament. And then, like you said, first time going, start right there and walk one fairway. Stay right on the side as the pro shop. And the cottage is right there. Walk straight up the right-hand side. Go to first green. And first thing you do if you're a golfer, you look for undulation, how the green slope and where if you miss it, you miss it bad, and you know you're not going to score good. That's why you see the players' faces when they hit it right on the edge of the green. They're like, yep, I'm going to be struggling for a par here. And then you work your way to 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then, you know, enjoy a sandwich at the turn and check out Amen Corner, and you've got a full ride. That's your day.
It's going to be fun. So we're going to be down there Sunday. We're going to be talking with John Daly, hopefully.
I hope. I mean, he's usually there
he's
early.
He's invited us there. So.
Yeah. Well, he, like I said, I know that we've had the extension, I guess that's what it would be called. Yeah, we've had the invite from Hooters to come on down with JD. And so I'm not going to promise you he's going to get on because I'd give you a lot of work to do with me and him together, Bo. Because you have to keep me straight as it is. And, you know, he's going to be promoting his new poppy beers. It's actually it'd be something that you would want to try. It's one of these flavored beers. Mm-hmm. I'm not for that. It's a vodka flavored, lemon flavored beer or something. You know what I call those. But anyway, so like I said, he would definitely be an edit bomb just waiting for you. So especially when he and I, because he knows I'm a Patriot and he's a Cowboy, so we start pretty harsh on each other.
Gamecock
and a Razorback. Yeah, which I'm ready for that one. I have questions for that one, Tom Carroll.
All right, so looking forward to that on Sunday as well. So we'll have that posted. Instead of a Monday podcast, we'll do a Sunday.
That'll be you and I and Willie.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, Willie's coming?
Yeah, Willie. Right. Well, I hadn't talked to Willie yet. Like I said, he was the one.
He doesn't usually talk, though. He'll put the headset on.
He'll put the headset on. I don't blame him because we'll be at Hooters. He'll have plenty to look at. So I won't fault him for that. Like I said, he's not a professional like you and I. So last year was an experience for you at Twin Peaks. But like I said, it's going to be a fun time. And if you're in the Augusta, there's nothing else to do. Also, we haven't decided where we'll watch the ladies' championship game. It'll be going on later that afternoon, night, 7:30, I think, or 6. Is it 6 or 7 that ladies' championship game will be? But anyway,
that.
Willie and I had the experience, man, at Wild Wings, which is now called Doc's Portside. We had an experience to watch Cyclone win the first one with Asia. And that was a blast. I mean, there's bands playing everywhere. Everybody's bumping into each other, man. It's, you know, I like those things, man.
I
enjoy times like that. So more than likely, we'll probably stay at Hooters or be at one of those places in Augusta for the Ladies Championship game. And hopefully we're in it. You know, I take a lot of criticism because I've been kind of negative about this team. And it's, I don't think it's that I'm negative about the team. I told you before, if you give me the field against any team, I'm going to tell you the field against anybody, even my Patriots. I'm just telling you, I just don't think that no team can be beaten. Unfortunately, now that's kind of leaked into my Gamecock sites. They're like, can we possibly lose one game? Let's hope not. I mean, I don't – that one loss is going to sting. You told them how I know about it.
All right. Well, we'll get dive into that first. Foremost, though, let's go ahead and talk about some of the local stuff. We'll start with the high school football coaches changes. None to talk of this week at all whatsoever. Still, you're looking at Central Pageland, Chesney, Georgetown, St. John's, and, of course, Easley are all have coaching openings that are going on. I did find this out, Chris, and I think you'll find it rather interesting, that over 150 people – applied and put their application in for that Easley job. I mean, they've got more, and we're not just talking about coaches from South Carolina. We're talking about coaches from all across the nation, including some Division I coaches, I'm told, are involved in getting their application.
Well, we kind of knew that because they're a fairly new school. I mean, they got really good. Their fields are good. Their gyms are good. It's a good place to go, and I think they have a team pretty much in place. You know, I'm really just surprised that there was a change there. For me, Georgetown would be an interesting job. That puts you down on the coast, and I mean, maybe that's one of the omniscience to not really wanting to coach at Myrtle Beach or at Georgetown. But like I said, if Chesney can't find anybody by like next week, call Burkett back up, man. Seriously, call Willis and tell him that I put a heads up for him to come back to coach. I know he loves that team and he loved his Eagles, and I know he's enjoying retirement. But anyway,
we'll find out. Every Thursday, we'll pass that along for you as well. So five coaching jobs still open as of right now here on April the 4th. Also, baseball guy, you know, basically kind of the only thing going on right now with a lot of the intercessions and spring breaks that are happening, things of that nature. But Emerald Baseball had a fantastic game against 96 earlier this week. It ended up being 4-1 Vikings, the final in this one. But Tucker Meredith, the winning pitcher, was phenomenal. When you look at what he did, 6.1 innings, had 13 strikeouts to go along with it. So he, you know, also was the leading hitter. He was 3 of 4 at the plate to go along with all that. Jackson Gary, 1 of 3 RBIs as well to go along with it. But just a phenomenal game for the Emerald Vikings. And we've heard, you know, the Vikings don't have a lot of hitting going on. They're hitting just fine.
Here's the thing that I've noticed, and I've followed like it through their pages and stuff. We've been a couple of the games, but when Will's pitching, Tucker's hitting. When Tucker's pitching, then usually Will's the one that's really with the RBIs. And this game, Tucker said, I'm going to take it all myself. So he put all of that on his shoulders, and I know his brother had a big game on the soccer field up the hill. Mm-hmm. I think either the same night or night before. So, you know, the Meredith are doing things up there at Emerald. And that's just, I mean, you know, you interviewed the guy. He handles the mic like the best of them, man, just telling you everything. And really good. Like I said, I think he's the one that's committed, right, or no?
He is the one that's committed.
To Wofford. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Wofford's getting a really good pitcher and hitter. And that's what I'm saying. And Will can do it. I just think when Will is pitching, I think that I think Coach wants Height wants him to just focus more on the mound than the hitting part of it. But like I say, that's phenomenal right there. You lead your team with 13 Ks, and you still have all the RBIs and runs driven in and stuff. So, yeah, that's a good night for a good kid.
The other thing I want to talk about is Laura Lee Scott. Did you see what she did?
I was going to text you about it, but I didn't know if you were ready for that one yet. But to me, Tom, that it really doesn't matter because I know you were just as excited.
I'm thinking, you know, Clemson missed out on a heck of a good pitcher, and it came back and bit him against Wofford.
Furman. You're right, and that's what I'm thinking. But there again, just starting your softball team off with – 3 years ago, she wouldn't have been on the radar. Now she would be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the former Viking great had a really good night on both sides up there for Furman and a big win, first ever win over Clemson.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Ended up watching what she was able to do over the course. I think she left 10 Clemson runners stranded in the process of all of that. She struck out, what, 13?
Yeah.
12 or 13, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So,
I mean, like I said, every pitch she threw was like it was either a strikeout or right to somebody. I don't think she ever had one really – I mean, you had singles in that game. She didn't throw a no-hitter or anything.
Yeah, she only had two walks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you had a chance to get some base runners, but I was just as much impressed with the Clemson defense as I was with their offense, with Furman's, you know, their defense, man. Furman came in, both teams felt each other out. And I just, it's a game if you're Furman, man. That's what you've been needing. And I don't feel bad for Clemson because Furman did lose their baseball team, and then just the fact that they're trying to rebuild the softball team, it's a great win. I think overall it'll probably help the Tigers going on down the road because that's a good win.
All right, so we'll see what happens in the rankings coming out next week. If the Tigers fall, they were, what, 18th?
And so they probably will fall.
They'll fall a little bit.
But like you say, you're getting ready. You've already probably started your ACC and stuff up. I know they start a little earlier than the Gamecocks did, but I still think that's a good loss. It's, you know, it's a midweek loss, and I don't want to get into that. But anyway, when you start playing midweek games, I mean, you're expected to win them all. But who do they have this weekend coming in? Do you remember? I saw it, and I can't remember if it's NC State they go to, or I think it's Tobacco Road. I think yeah. is where they're going. So
I thought it was Duke, but
it may be. You might be right.
So we'll see. Follow along and find out a little bit more. There was a game that did take place earlier this week. Was it Tuesday or Monday? Tuesday. Ended up taking place. Who would have thought that 42 points would have been scored total in this? 42 runs, I should say, total in this. Lander barely outlasted Erskine. I mean, Lander came out smoking hot. It was like 11-0 at the end of the top of the third. And then all of a sudden, six runs by Erskine to go along with that. And it just continued to build and get bigger and bigger. Lander led most of this. Erskine took the lead in the late innings, but Lander was able to come out in the last inning.
You remember a couple months ago, we were here at the same table, and that's when the season started. And Erskine scored a couple runs early to take a big lead, and then Lander came back and did basically the same thing. Not 22 times, but I think that game ended, 7-1, 6-0, something like that. I was stunned when I saw it. I just was stunned. I haven't even had a chance to call Graham Simpson, see if he had to call on that game. If he did, he's got laryngitis. Yeah. So,
well, four different Bearcats finished with three hits in the win. You had Chandler Moeller, who had a double. You had two home runs, four runs scored, and two RBIs. Dozier finished the game with a triple. He had a home run, two runs scored, three runs driven in. Kurt Rogers picked up the win. He's now 3-0 for the Bearcats right now. He struck out, one and one and two-thirds innings to go along with it. And Ty Overholt had an exceptional 20-run performance or an exceptional game in that 20-run performance. Erskine got production also from Dale Francis Jr., who has been a highlight reel in himself. Ended up with a three-run home run in the fourth and the fifth innings to kickstart the Fleet's comeback effort. So, big news there.
If you're Coach Burke, you're done with Erskine, right? You don't want to see him anymore.
I don't want to see him anyway. All the games have been close one way or
another. They have until that one. Yeah. I mean, that was the one that just broke the bank, so to speak. But we've been praising the pitching staff, and then, you know, you get to a game like this, it's like, can you get anybody out? And I guess in Coach Burke's mind, I mean, that's probably what he's thinking. He said, good gracious, can we get an out? And I'm not going to say it was bad pitching. I think both teams were just ready to come out and hit the ball, and they – knock the laces off of it, man. You have games like that. So they were lucky to prevail.
But Lander's now 23-11, 10-5 in the Peach Belt Conference. They're going to go they're going to host, I should say, USC Aiken, who is 9-26 and 5-10 in the Peach Belt Conference. So just totally flipped records. But it's a three-game series going to be at Dolney starting tomorrow night. So should be fun there. Erskine also is going to be on the road this week in a three-game series at Francis Marion, who is 14-19 and 6-12. Overall, should be a fairly easy win for both these
schools. Both schools should get some quality. Now, Francis Marion's a little different because that game's there.
San Francis Marion, down there with the Nats and everything
else. That's difficult. Yeah. That'll be a difficult series. I want to see their pitching pick up, though. They really need a couple pitchers to step up. And let's get us about an 8-1 win, 8-4 win, and just have it easy for one game instead of, you know, scoring all. Because what was the emotion in that game, Tom? I mean, if you're a coach of either team, you know, the emotion, you come out and you score all the runs in, like, all right, we can coast now. And then here comes Lander, and they're like, man, I thought we were coasting. Now we just got to breathe. So,
yeah.
I mean, Lander, like I said, they're hosting this weekend. Aiken's not a very good baseball team, but there again, you almost got to just play it like a – it's a series that you know, coach, you used to tell your team, aren't we tied? It's a game apiece, or we're up 2-1. Go finish it out or whatever, and act like they're a better team than the record, because any given day they can lose that game. That's what I've been preaching for.
You know, I'm sitting
the last
here
month.
I'm looking at the scoreboard, and Lander comes out 7 runs in the first, 4 in the second, 1 in the third, 6 in the fourth. They don't score again till the 8th inning. They get 1 run there, and then 3 in the 9th. Erskine's kind of the opposite way around. They didn't score till the 2nd inning. They had 6 runs at that point. Scored again, 3 runs in the 4th, 3 in the 5th, 3 in the 6th, 4 in the 7th, and then 1 run in the 9th inning.
I mean, I had it backwards. I had
19 hits for each team. Lander had 1 error. Erskine had 2.
I mean,
you know, if you're the kid in the scoreboard, you're sitting there flipping it over and over again.
That's like, yeah. Now, that would be the hardest part of that job out there is doing that. It's the old parts. You would probably have, you know, rotated a cup by the time it was over. But, I mean, that, can you imagine how exciting that game was, though? I mean, the way they continued to do it, they just, you know, like you said, score. Inning or two without, score. So. And if you're Erskine, you got to be devastated because, first game you played so well. Second game you went up there to your place, played so well. And like I said, the last one against Lander, you probably say, like, I just hope not to see them in the postseason, which they're in different conferences.
Yeah.
I know Lander's Peach Belt near that Carolina Conference of the Carolinas. So you better worry about PC.
All right. Got some big news that came out, and I haven't told you. I just told you that Post 20, American Legion Post 20, has hired a new junior head coach to go along with all of that. And Ty Vines passed it along to me. I'm going to pass it along to you as well. So the new Post 20 Junior Legion head coach is going to be none other than Mason Hamby. So congratulations to Mason, on taking that job. You know, and he's what, the younger Hamby?
He is. As a matter of fact, when you said Mason, I was thinking, wait a minute, didn't he pitch last year? So he would be the older, I hope, Hamby, yeah. Because I thought that kid was Mason Hamby from Lawrence that pitched for them last year. But exciting, though. I mean,
it should be fun. And now he's got a wealth of knowledge to go along with him. He's got
– with the program.
Yeah, with the program. But he's also got a good support staff, I think. When you got Ryan Slack as the head coach that's up there at the varsity level, you got Ty Vines, who is a wealth of knowledge to go along with all that. So for him to come in and teach these younger kids, and, well, he's almost the same age as they are, this is going to be huge for them.
This is going to be, and I think that's what will be fun for the kids. They're going to be like, man, I remember him. I mean, they remember Ryan Slack. Don't get me wrong. If you don't remember Ryan, I mean, you're my age probably. But it's exciting because now I think what Coach Vine or what Ty did was he has taken the excitement of the leading skipper for the varsity squad, and he's got just as much faith. And I think the kids are going to love this guy on the JV side of it. Big hire, like I said, I was waiting. I had a couple names in mind, but I was like, oh, please. I'm really good with this one. I was like, this is why we didn't do it at ours, because he knew Ty was going to look at me and tell me, and I'm going to be like, what? But anyway, this is a good hire, and I think for the kids, they're probably going to be more excited to have Mason, you know, at the helm, the lead skipper of that JV team. And like I said, everything's done. It's going to be done from top to bottom. So you're going to have Coach Slack looking down at, you know, Coach Hamby, and then Ty's going to be looking at both of them. So I'm excited for the summertime. I really am, man. I mean, this is going to be great.
Going to be fun. And, of course, if you've got somebody that is interested in being part of American Legion Post 20, what you need to do is go ahead and get registered online. You can go to scalb.org and go through there, and you can go ahead and register, and it'll go automatically to Greenwood once you put your information in, and Ty will get all that information and pass it along to Ryan.
Yeah, I think Ty said it's got the little thing that you scan. Got the barcode.
Got the barcode.
So, that's an easier way to get it. Just make sure your information is correct. But, sooner rather than later, we knew it was going to be this way with technology and stuff like that. And like Stan's always, I mean, you know the food's great out there because you're the man on the mic, as I call it, the PA gentleman out there. But I mean, if you're looking for a cheap date, cheap night for the kids out to where they're going to love. They're going to want to run them. And you want to go to bed at night, take them out there and let them run out for home running foul balls.
And they'll be enjoying staying up past their bedtime.
And they will. And like I said, they're going to be so tired that they'll come in and be ready to go to bed. But there's not a better ticket in Greenwood during the summer. And the cool thing about it that Ty said, it doesn't last that long. It's only,
about a month and a half.
Month and a half, yeah. So you're going to see good baseball. We just got to get over that hump with Anderson. Coaches, I'm telling you, Ty, I already told you, but we get over that hump with Anderson, we're going to be good this year, man. Because I think they've got us the last 2 years. So.
Yeah, we've been to the playoffs the last 2 years as well. We've gone 2 years ago, we went real deep. Last year, I think we went to the second round to go along with all that. So
yeah, Florence got us 2 years. Yeah. So it was Florence. It wasn't Anderson. It was Florence. Anderson from our division.
Yeah, they end up winning our region in that regard.
That's exciting, though. You're right. I mean, because I was thinking about it. Yeah, it would be the other Hammy, the brother. So, yeah. So good chance his brother's going to be on that team.
Probably.
Because he pitched it against Greenwood earlier this year, so. He's still at Lawrence, and he's still going to be there. So that's when you got to worry. So, do I really want to play for my brother? I might go to the beach that year.
That would be fun. I probably would enjoy it if my brother was my coach.
Oh, no, man. That'd be difficult. Now, think about your brother, though. I'm an only child, so I can say this. It might be cool for me, but if it was your brother.
Well, there might be some bickering outside of the field. But
I mean, if you're a baseball family, man, that's pretty cool.
It's fun to go along, but I think it's a wonderful hire.
I do too. And I think that's win-win. Ty, we'll get you back home maybe Monday, maybe next Thursday to let him. He can break it again if he wants and tell how hard it was, because I'd also like to know the list of candidates that they had that he had to go through, see if they're on my list or not. So that'd be a fun one if we get to try to get him back on. And then he likes to talk about the tournament too, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get him to see about hosting the tournament again back down.
Oh, here, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
It would be fun one more time. All right. We want to make mention of our sponsor, Howard's on Main, as well. Make sure to head on out that way. You can check out all the fun things that are going on just by going to their Facebook page, Howard's on Main. They've got all the entertainment that's happening this weekend, starting tonight.
Yeah.
I think 6 o'clock they get underway. You've got more entertainment tomorrow. And they got a band coming in on Saturday as well. Yeah. So a full slate that's going on. Plus you get all the daily specials and what's happening in and around Howard's on Main.
Yeah, I've noticed it. We got a new girl on our team, I guess. I don't usually get beat on a lot of things. You beat me in some things. And I pride myself on trying to get everything out first if I see it pop. Even ESPN on down. Caroline got me today.
Did she?
She got me with Lander stuff. She got me with the top 25 NCAA team, the teams that she this week, your weekly top 25, which I had to look two of them up. So, anyway, and the fact that she's coaching cheerleading in town. So, that's good to know that she's back helping the young ladies with the cheerleading and all of that. That's great. But Caroline's – She has a wealth of sports knowledge out of Chapin. So, and she sends me stuff and I don't see it and I post and I give her the credit for it. So, she may be putting on a headset and sending me behind the bar.
Yeah.
Or just to sit at the bar. So we'll see how that goes. But I appreciate it, Caroline, because I didn't see it. And that gives me a fourth Baseball America to follow for the top 25. So, and they're never the same. But one of your teams dropped out. Wake Forest dropped out.
Did they?
And I thought they were our number one seed a month ago. Yeah, they had to look at it twice, but yeah, they like the SEC lost Mississippi and Georgia today, and I think y'all lost. Well, you still got Duke, North Carolina, and those. But I think Wake's one of the teams I saw had dropped out of top 25.
They were a preseason number one team.
Yeah, wish I may be dropping to 25 and they'll be back in. But like I said, all it needs a good 2 week run and they'll probably get right back up to close to the top, because I know there's a team at 15 that won't stay there very long, and that's my Gamecocks. So there'll be a spot for one coming up pretty soon.
Yeah,
so.
We won't even talk about what happened yesterday.
You know, it's just difficult. It's difficult to talk about.
It was an ugly loss.
I'm sitting right here at the bar and I just, I'm telling you, boy, sometimes you just go there and fill that glass up and just. Oh, cry your tears, man. But right. Well, we won't get into it.
We won't get into the
baseball. I'll save it for Stan. We'll save it for Stan.
We're going to dive more into a lot of the baseball starting next week as well, because basketball is going to be overdone with. Clemson officially came out. Sean Poppe is the new women's basketball coach for the Clemson Tigers. Here's what he had to say in his interview to the media first time yesterday.
As I stand here as your eighth head women's basketball coach heading into our 50th season, I couldn't be more proud and ready for the task at hand. Again, I know we have a lot of work ahead, And it's going to take all of us. The amount of support sitting in here, I'm very thankful for. The media coverage, the obviously other head coaches, support staff, this Clemson community. It takes all of us. I ask for your continued support in so many ways, as I promise our ladies will feel it and they'll appreciate it. We'll put a product on the floor that'll make you proud, not only on the court, but off the court. I think you're going to see a team with togetherness, and you'll see a team that loves on one another, a true team, one that we kind of just witnessed a couple days ago, where in today's world of individualism and everything that's going on, the reality is you still need a team concept, one that fights for one another and puts their heart and soul for what's in front on that jersey. And that's what we're looking to do. As we rebuild our roster, I look forward to building a program and not a team. Again, with the transfer portal and everything that goes into it, you can try to have quick results. And don't get me wrong, we're going to try to compete and compete with the best right away. But we're not going to cheat steps. I want to build a program here, something that is going to be special and one that you're proud of, one that we're recruiting talented young ladies who are willing to sacrifice for the betterment of us. That's how you win, and you win big. With that said, a cornerstone of our program will be development. Again, I mentioned my time at Virginia Tech. My biggest mentor, Kenny Brooks, poured his heart and soul into me for a number of years, and we took over a program there very similar to what's here. As he referenced in his press conference at Virginia Tech, a sleeping giant. And I believe that's what we got sitting right here. We got one that's ready to compete with the best of anybody. But with that said, we got to develop, right? Develop young people on and off the court. It starts with the relationships. A lot of people talk about it, but they don't want to be about it. But we will be about it, right? We will have honest conversation, hold them to the highest standard with a level of accountability. But we're also going to get on that court and work with them. I think even as the head coach, to be able to step on the floor and work on their games one-on-one and continue to build a relationship with them. If you've been around any 18 to 22-year-old and you sit on a court and shoot and just get them talking, they'll tell you about anything. You learn so much just in that time together. And I also think it continues to build a trust in us as a staff. I got a couple of my assistants that are in the audience today, and the rest will be joining us soon. But we're all on the same page. We're working to make them as confident and uplift them as much as we can so that we can put a product, obviously, that's fun to watch. My playing days are getting further and further away. I know you guys are looking at me like I can't get on the court, but I can still get down there, just more of in a box. But we don't have any magic potion, right? It's not something we can sprinkle and think we can wake up tomorrow and have it fixed. We got to have players with a chip on their shoulder, willing to buy in. And as Coach Brooks used to say, meet us halfway, right? We'll give you the world, you meet us halfway. Recruiting and development will change how we play offensively when you think about strategy. If we're doing our job developing young people, we will continue to evolve. We'll change how we play based on the talent level. Three is worth more than two, I believe. I'm not great at math, so we will try to shoot a number of threes and have a roster that has the ability to stretch the floor. You know, I think when you got talented people on the floor that can stretch the floor, it makes the game a little bit easier. Space and pace is something you hear quite a bit in the game today. Obviously, I think it all started in the NBA, and it's trickled down, obviously, in the men's side. I think if you watched last night, Caitlin Clark does a pretty good job of spacing the floor with her ability. And that's what we're going to try to do, right? Develop talent to where we can space the floor and play together. Now, on the defensive end, again, don't quote me on this, but I've been pretty stuck in my ways on that side of the ball. The last handful of years at Virginia Tech, I was a defensive coordinator, and we were top 15 in the country in defensive field goal percentage, playing 99.9% man. But I understand there's time and place, all right, for mixing in some zone or pressing, but I believe on the defensive side, as a fan, you can see what your genuine culture is inside your program, of competing with one another, for one another, and having a level of discipline, and that's what we'll be. A pack line, keep the ball in front, play together. My 2 years at Chattanooga, we did the same thing, and again, finished top 15 in the country nationally, whether it be in field goal percentage defense or points allowed.
So there you have a little bit of head coach Sean Poppy, the new head coach at Clemson University in the women's basketball program. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to play for him.
Yeah, I mean, over a period of time, there need to be some changes made. What he didn't tell you right there is he was talking about his ability to still get on the floor. I know one thing about Coach Brooks at BT that he talked about was his ability, and his assistant coaches on that team, and they're with him now, three of them, they run practice. He will run practice himself with his players. He's not one that's going to sit over here and watch his players and girls. He's going to run practice with them. He stays in the box like he tells you. He's still a young head coach. He's probably one of the younger women's coaches that's out here. Very enthusiastic guy. I like some of the words he used. But are you excited more for the fact that it's going to be a defensive-oriented team with the players that you have remaining?
Well, definitely. I mean, that's where it starts, and then you worry about the offense coming after that.
Well, he knows where the offense is coming because he knows where to go get it.
Yeah.
I still think that there's – I can't think of the young lady they played on his Chattanooga team. I think it's Davis is her name, last name. I look for her to – we're starting to now see, like, College of Child, some of these other players trickle down and go to where their coaches are going. Coach Poppy's the same way. He knows what he's going to need. He's already addressed a team that's going to still be there. He loses some really good players' time off this team. Most of those girls were senior juniors. And like Ruby Whitehorn, McDonald's All-American, she's gone now. And that's tough to replace. I mean, she was leading scorer the first 2 years that she really played under Coach Butler. And I think this team right here will be ready to compete in the ACC as soon as the season starts.
We should see a drastic improvement right away.
Well, you'll see that. I still had faith in my coach, but – you're going to see it, but I think that this is another win-win for Coach Neff. I mean, for your AD. That's a win coach right there. You almost waited too late because his name was still being discussed around the circles with a couple ladies' teams still out there.
You know, if he would have gone, you had that young lady in Tennessee that just lost her job.
And that's what I was going to ask you because I think Tennessee's found their girl, and, well, I would say they found her, and only because she's a big-time Tennessee ball player. She played for Coach Summit. She's a mass of knowledge, and she's already an ACC coach. So don't be stunned today if you don't see where Kalera Lawson's going to leave Duke to take that job. And I ask you Monday, what fool would take that job? You think about it. It would be
an alumni, yeah,
that played for Coach Summit. You know, when she stepped out, when Larson stepped out of the booth, commentary doing, you know, kind of what we do. And I mean, that was a big step out because she was stepping on into a coaching role that she's really never done before, and she's done wonders at Duke. I know we've seen Duke win and we've seen Duke lose, you know, since she's been there, but she brought that team back. I mean, they weren't a team. This is a job here for Coach Poppy. Let's say what it is. He's got a job ahead of him because the Cubbets were not, they're bare. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he's got players that he knows or he knows he can go get. And like I said, Coach, if you want to do one thing, sit down in Columbia. And if a player gets mad and leaves the practice in Carolina, go get her.
Just bring her on.
But I'm excited to have him in there. I we joked about, you know, Coach Butler, but I just think it's cool, and I think you got a young guy that's enthusiastic and he wants to play. But that was the first thing I thought about. Until they actually signed him, yesterday or Monday, that – she was still out at Tennessee, and that the lady at Kentucky's still out there too. So there is two lady coaches out there, a minority coach and just a really good coach from Tennessee. Either one of those ladies are going to be a hire for some powerful basketball team. I'm not talking about a Clemson, Carolina, or whatever. I'm talking about go to where they're looking for a coach, like a Texas. If you're looking for a coach, go get one of these two ladies because they got big-time SEC experience.
Well, there's also a coach that was hired down there for the Cougars, the College of Charleston. And when you look at Chris Mack and the wealth of experience that he has, now we know that he was at the University of Louisville. He was the head coach there from 2018 to 22 to go along with that. Before that, though, what folks don't realize is he was with Xavier, was the head coach down there for, 5 years? Was assistant coach at Wake Forest and Xavier back in the early 2000s.
Chris Mack's a great basketball coach. Like I said, I think he got thrown in the bus by Louisville. And I don't know what happens with that university. It's like every time something's up there, there's a coach fired or something. Like we saw it with football. We've seen it. It's just always some kind
something
of drama at all times. And I think what he was able to do for me at Xavier was, because I was coming off of losing a big time coach, and then the cupboards were full there too, and he went in and kept it up. Then he went to Louisville where he didn't have a whole lot, and just for what it wasn't his, let's just say it like it is, it wasn't Chris Mack's fault that he got fired. He was kind of like in the situation that other men put themselves in, and I just don't think that's a fireable offense. I mean, if it, you know, if it had been like underage or something like that, it'd be different. But what he's going to do is he's going to take over for, well, we're going to flip it. Let's flip the switch because Pat Kelsey's going to Louisville, mm-hmm. and Matt got fired at Louisville. So that's kind of the flip. I think what he's going to bring to Charleston is just going to be incredible. And I don't know if you'll see a coaching change for a while down there. I really don't. I think this could be a 20-year end of my coaching career deal, and I know he's happy to be back in coaching, and he's happy that somebody's willing to give him another shot. He had a chance to go back to Xavier the other year whenever, like I said, we fired old Frank, and we were hoping to get the Louisville coach that ended up taking the Xavier job, and that was a job that Chris Mack thought he might get back. So I think if you're a College of Charleston, a Coug fan, and here's the problem I have with Portal. The players I wanted in Columbia, they're going to follow their coach.
Right.
And I think, in a way, if you're three of those guys, you got to say, I love Charleston, I love this school, and you got to give this coach a chance because you're going to love him a lot better than you do Pat Kelsey. Chris Mack's a guy I believe in him, man. I know that he's had issues, but I think it's a great hire. And Louisville's got a really good coach. I think Pat Kelsey's great. But, you know, Cameron sent me a message. He said, man, I hear that it's going to be Bob Ritchie. And I was like, well, I've already heard Mack's already been in town three or four times. But both teams signed yesterday. I mean, Clemson signed Poppy, and they signed him. And so, Bob, you're safe at Furman for a while. But another great coach at Furman that will get a bigger job sooner or later.
Another good one. I didn't know this, but Chris Mack was one of 19 coaches in college basketball history that led their team to a number one ranking within the first 2 years. That's huge.
And that's the thing, Tom. You have to – you give or take as an athletic director. Now, there's some things, and we'll strictly – no, we'll go to Arkansas and we'll go to Louisville that you just can't accept on a football as a football head coach. Some of the things that Petrino has done, it wasn't enough that he didn't get back. But anyway, that's another story for John Daly. But the Louisville situation, it was one that, I don't think he should have been fired for it. I think maybe given a suspension or something. But you put your whole program at risk by firing a really good basketball coach. So, like I said, Charleston, you got a winner. And like I said, I think that Louisville did too. It's just going to be how much is Pat Kelsey willing to take before he says, it ain't worth this. I know money-wise, he was already making a ton. I did not see the contract that Charleston paid Mack yet, though.
I haven't seen it yet.
Because I doubt it was what he was making at Louisville, but Kelsey is definitely making what he was making there. So, Charleston's got the money for basketball. Let's just say that.
All right. Other awards that were passed out have to do, and we'll get into the ladies' basketball here. Don Staley ends up getting Coach of the Year for what, third time?
Third time,
in
man.
A row. And then Carmela Cardoza ends up with the Defensive Player of the Year. That's huge.
Well, for me, it's a body. She's a body man. She's tall, defensive, but what she does offensively for this team, I don't know why she wasn't really looked as an offensive player of the year for the Gamecocks this year, because she was. Anytime you're, 10 out of 12 from the field and you're doing everything you're doing. But that's a really good thing for her. I think Gigi Watkins seeing it now. I think Gigi got offensive player of the year, or her Paige Becker's one. But it's exciting times, because what people forget to realize, and this is the Gamecocks don't – I can't get to understand, man. They've never lost a game, no. But this is a rebounding team, a rebounding year, excuse me, not just rebounds physically. But this was what was going to be one of Don's toughest rebuilds, because they lost so much last year, and they're in the Final Four. I mean, that's what's amazing about this team, that these girls are brand new to a program, and they haven't felt a defeat as a Gamecock yet, and I don't want them to now. So let's just keep it going. Like I hit up Chloe Kitts the other day, and I said, you got the whole town behind you, the state's behind you. And she said, yeah, but it's a lot of pressure. And it is. So Dawn's got her – we said it would be her biggest coaching job. And how about that? Third time coach of the year on a rebuild. Rebuilding the team. I mean, that's incredible for me, man.
Unreal. And to be, 12-point favorites going in against North Carolina State right now? Well, we knew they were going to be double digits when you look at it. They'll be playing at 7 o'clock in the Final Four, the ladies' Final Four, South Carolina taking on North Carolina State. And this is a game that worried you from the get-go. You did not want to take on the Wolfpack.
Well, like I said, I didn't want – here's the deal. Because, Stan, he's always saying, I had one woman, one girl or one lady is not going to beat your team. You got four teams now. Because South Carolina with one player could beat a team. Okay, that was one. The James girl, Isaiah James for NC State, I think she's right at 27 or 28 points last four games. And, I mean, she's a three-point bomb threat. Paige Buchers at UConn. And then, you're talking about the last team. You know that they got the shooters that can do it too. But it was kind of funny because three of those last four teams that played to get to the Final Four had one player that could do it. Kalen Clark, James, and Buchers. Any of those three can beat you. So you better be ready to play really good defense. I know that LSU probably was the one that everybody – that was the game everybody was talking about. I was more interested in the USC-Connecticut game. I followed it a little more on my phone than I did the other one. But Kalen Clark's a real deal. I mean, at times I've said, you know what, yeah, anybody can stand over there and shoot the ball. And but she plays more defense than you think she does.
Well, she had what, I think two or three steals in the process of all that, too. I mean, yeah, they were in kind of a zone, a 2-3 zone most of the night against LSU, but still, she played defense extremely well, I thought.
The thing against them, when they play certain teams, and you talk about, I like Poppy talking about man-to-man 90% of the time, that's where they're going to play. But against a team like, if they do end up against the South Carolina, I think that's what you're going to see. They're going to switch off. They're going to press. They're going to play. Man, you're going to see everything in that game from any one of these three teams that would play South Carolina. Starts with NC State. And for the Gamecocks, we got to figure a girl that we're going to put on James. I don't know that you can stop her. I know Stan says just let her shoot. You let her get her points. But, Tom, when you sit there and you're Kalen Clark and you got 41 points on an LSU team that probably 80% of the United States thought wouldn't beat them, and she scores 41 points, 28 or 9 in the first half, look out. Defensively, you better find a way. And she's a guard. So, I mean, really, you don't run a boxing one on another guard. You just double-team that player. But for the Gamecocks, who are you willing to give up, on the offensive side?
She still had 9 rebounds in the process. I mean, she's all over the court.
She's going to be there. And like I said, that's not one. Like I said, I did take the Gamecocks. Since Stan always wants to tell me, I did take the Gamecocks. Connecticut was the team I had them losing to. So, let's get by them. And let's hope that we get a good shot at it. Do you want to play Connecticut or Iowa if you're the Gamecocks? Let's just go ahead and play devil's advocate and say we do get by NC State.
Well, that's the question. Do you want UConn, who is more of a team-oriented and has that one shooter that can shoot lights out, or do you want to play Kalen Clark and try your hand at trying to guard her?
For me, it's from last year. So, I think I want Kalen because they beat us, or they beat us to put us out.
They beat you in the Final Four, yeah.
And like I said, Stan's always, I don't want to play a team three times. I don't want to play Connecticut for the second time because we're not at home this time. The home means a whole lot, man. And when you're going to be – well, we're going to be in Cleveland this weekend. So let's hope the floors are lying right. Everything's where it's supposed to be. But like I said, I just don't – the reason I've been so negative about it, it's not because I'm negative about South Carolina. I'm just negative about, I don't want that one loss to cloud a whole season. But I do want people to realize that this was supposed to be a rebounding year. So I'm excited to be there. And since we are there, Coach, let's win it.
Should be fun to see. I'm anxious to see some of the matchups that are going to be going on. For UConn, having Paige and Kalen go at each other, that is going to be fun. Particularly if they have to guard each other. That might be even more interesting.
I think I want to see Bree Hall maybe in the James girl for the guard from NC State. The thing about UConn that you really got to remember and worry about is they had two girls. They had Beckers and I think her name was Wilson or Moore. I don't have my stats pulled up, but there were double-doubles. Beckers had her points, and she had her assists, but the other girl had the rebounds, and then she had the 10 points to go along with, 14 or 15 rebounds. That's what's amazing to me, that you do have a UConn team that can do that. And that's what scares me for the Gamecocks. I mean, like I said, because complete game. And I think defense will win that game. I think if we can find a way to stop James, and I think Bree Hall is probably your answer. She's just got to play really hard defense on her. And if she gets fouls, then we got other guards. That's one thing we're blessed at South Carolina, is guard play. Tall girls, other than Cardoza, she doesn't get in foul trouble. So I'm not really worried about her in foul trouble. Plus, she's Defensive Player of the Year. So we'll see how she goes. I still worry about the game, but I got to get past NC State first because I feel like Connecticut's going to do what they got to do.
Now, NC State has a former champion from the Gamecock squad from 3 years ago.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, Portal's done crazy things in basketball. I think about Middlebrooks for y'all. You know, leaves Clemson and Brownell, and now he's on that NC State team still dancing and, you know, up there with DJ Burns and the other DJ. And, I mean, I guess you saw with their meal prep. Oh, goodness, man. Somebody set them a slab up. Like, you would have thought they were at Orion's on their own because they just had tables full of food. They brought it out to them.
All right, so the girls' tournament
Friday night?
I believe it does get underway Friday night, 7 o'clock. That'll be South Carolina taking on number 3 NC State up there at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. And then 9 o'clock game has number 1 Iowa taking on number 3 UConn. So 1-3 matchups all the way around.
I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, if you're a purist of basketball – and, I mean, Stan's told you how much he loves the ladies' game. I mean, don't get me wrong. This year's been really fun for women's basketball. I watched as much of it as I have men's. And, I mean, it's just phenomenal. We know who's going to – what about the ticket prices? Were you stunned by those?
I was. But the sport's growing on the ladies' side.
Well, I mean, the Gamecocks all year long. I mean, even at CLA, I mean, some of those prices were – for Connecticut was crazy. And then you start paying $1,000 for a – but it is a Final Four. But so if you think if we go to men's Final Four, you're going to pay – twice that or three times that. So it's growing. But like I said, you can't lose either way, man. Either one of those games are going to be phenomenal basketball games.
All right. So I think we're both hoping for South Carolina taking on Iowa at the end of all this. So you have the two number ones going at each other.
Well, I think those other girls are pretty key for Iowa. Not Clark, but I'm more interested watching the other ones playing Gabby and the other girls. So anyway.
Yeah, the national championship game will be Sunday night, 9:20.
Oh,
on
man,
ABC.
I guess we won't be there maybe. Listen, let me go ahead and get my field pass filled out from my doctor and see if she'll let Deton Carroll to sit it out. And that would be one that would be fun to do. I know we couldn't do the game live. It can't be done live like that, but it would be fun to talk about it through it and intercessory actions. But anyway, like I said, that's a late night for Stan Spivey, as he'll say. So
he'll be up past midnight, and doesn't happen very often.
No, and then, you know, we'll probably wait and do a Thursday podcast, unless you just want to go back to Augusta on Monday or Thursday.
We'll do one Sunday and then Thursday.
That sounds good. And like I said, I'll give Stan a call and remind him. But I know, while we're doing it, think about it. Luke's got his 11th birthday this weekend. That's our Premier League guy, Stan's grandson, Luke. And excited for him. And like I said, he's due to take a couple spots for me because I got to learn soccer, man. I'm already behind in rugby, lacrosse, and everything else. I got to learn soccer. So, Luke, hit me up if it's only on the phone, bud.
We'll get it done. Well, let's talk about the men's side. It's going to be another fun one because North Carolina State has both the men's and the women's team in. North Carolina State, the darlings of the NCAA dance, you can call them that. The 11th seed taking on the 1 seed Purdue. That'll be the first game on TBS and TNT at 6:09, and that'll be coming up on Saturday. And then the late game at 8:49 has number 1 UConn taking on number 4 Alabama. Let's start with that one. UConn has blown everybody out by 22 points or more. Most of those are the more in the 30-round range. Does Alabama even have a chance against the Huskies here?
You know what, Tom? Let's just go back to the game that they beat y'all at the end of your season. Let's talk about that one. What percentage did they shoot from the field in that game? Do you remember?
The second half, they shot almost 43%.
And Kid and Play was just crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, and that's that other kid. I call him Kid and Play. But it's going to be – yeah, I mean, because like I said, they've got the 7-foot guy too, you know, that can match up. The problem for me is who is going to be down low for Alabama. I mean, we know Middlebrooks is there. And, I mean, DJ and the other DJs can probably play a little strong forward. But Burns – I mean, well, I flipped games again.
You did.
I did. So we're at Alabama again, and we're at UConn. So for me, I'm going to say no because the team that had a possibility was Illinois. And, you know, Illinois did what they had to do. They went up how many points? And then there was a 30-0 run after halftime, I think, and it just blew them slap out of the water. So this is going to be Nate Oates' best coaching performance. And those players are going to have to be hot from the field and stay hot. I mean, when I'm talking like they were against y'all, but they got to stay there. And the way that he was hitting the three bombs that he was shooting, it was like he felt like he was going in from anywhere. and they almost had the half court shot anyway. So,
but they've got to have more
defense is going to be
key. UConn is so long; that is their key to their defensive side, and they go man to man on you. And being that long, it's hard to get into get anything into a passing lane.
It's been difficult to see all year because Kentucky and Alabama are the only two teams that can really run it like this. We know that, and just watching Danny Hurley's team from last year and seeing the improvement that this team's made with players that they had brought one player in, and you had two or three other guys step up. It was their time, and it was what they do. And I'm waiting on that third guy for Alabama, and I can't tell you who it's going to be, so I'm going to say no, I don't think they can stay with them. I really don't. I think it's going to be – I'm not going to say it's going to be a –
Well, Alabama have everybody back, too. Remember, against Clemson, they had a guy that had a head injury, was out for the game.
So. They're going to need him. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, but you're going to have to – you're going to have the guard shooting. He's going to need 40 points in that game to keep them in it because the way this Connecticut team shoots the ball and plays defense, yeah.
You're going to be in a track meet. This game, again, could be in the 90s, low 100s.
Well, both teams want that. Yeah. You know, if I was Connecticut, I would say we got to slow it down. Hurley don't want to slow it down either. He don't want to slow it down, so we're going to just go ahead and keep playing it like it is, man.
Turn it loose, see what happens. I'd say UConn comes out on top by 15 or more.
I'll say Husky'd win big, too. So.
All right, the first game of the night on Saturday has number one Purdue taking on number 11 North Carolina State, and it'll be a battle of the DJs versus the Goliath.
The Zachy.
Zach Eady up there in the middle. Zach Eady, what, 6'4", 300 pounds. He'll be guarded and taking on DJ Burns, who is 6'11". And not quite 300. He's 285 pounds.
Well, that's what I tell you. And Haley's going to be mad at you because you didn't get the height right. You said 6'4". We're talking 7'4".
Yeah, 7'4".
But now this is what I want to see. We know that DJ got the fancy feet. Mm-hmm. He can work his magic around in there and get his way to battle around to that basket. Zach Eady's one of them. He's just going to bang you, though. He's just going to bang you. He's going to get his 20 fouls. But you know what, Tom? He makes 20 free throws. This game's out of reach, I think, for them because he's going to get free throws. And I think he's probably going to get 15 to 20 free throw attempts. Now, if you're Coach Keats, that's your argument. How's this guy shooting all these free throws and we're not getting them? Zach Eady, he is the CBS, as of right now, Player of the Year in men's college basketball. We didn't expect he won it last year. They can be beat, though, because I watched UConn beat them last year. So, can this be – do you remember what seed Valvano was when they beat Houston? Do you remember?
I don't.
They just got on here that this could be the lowest seed to ever win the national championship. So this what Coach Keats and his team and his son does play on that team, by the way. This would be the biggest of the upsets ever in college basketball history. So you might see Coach Keats running around looking for somebody to hug. And let's just hope it doesn't come down to what we thought was a three-pointer that turned into what he said was a pass to Wittenberg, and he lays it in. Let's just hope it doesn't come down to anything like that. But I think everybody's pulling for the darlings. I'm gonna probably be the only one pulling for – I like Fred Lawyer, the guard for Purdue, and I like Zach Eady. I just don't know what he's going to do in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be the thing for North Carolina State. In order for them to win, there's some question marks that I have, particularly starting with DJ Burns. All of this success that he has had has come off of double teams, people double teaming him down low, out in the corner, up high, every time that he gets the ball, and he's been able to find the correct pass and get the ball to the open guy. Now that he's going to be guarded by Zach Eady, he doesn't have that option. Plus, you got to shoot over a guy that's 7'4", raises his arms up. It's more than 13 feet. I mean,
yeah, he cut the net without the ladder.
Yeah. So I mean, to me, that's going to be the key matchup: is how does DJ Burns and all the offense that runs through him, how is that going to change, or is it going to change overall? We know that DJ Hall is going to do DJ McKay, right?
Yes.
We know that he is going to drive the lanes. He's going to get his points. And that's something that I think Purdue is concentrating more on than having to guard DJ Burns.
I agree. I got breaking news here for you. We'll talk about it in a minute. I think the key for DJ Burns is where he was able to get it down low, I think he's got to go right up. I don't think he can try to dance around with Eady because Eady can push around. He's got the big elbows too. And, I mean, I think he's going to be catch and shoot. I don't think he's going to be catch, turn, twist, release, and back out or whatever. I think that's the only way they're going to win it. I mean – I think they are the nation's darlings, as you said, and I mean, they're likable kids. My thing is, Tom, how many games straight are we talking here? Basically, I know they had a weekend off to rest up, the move, and everything.
Nine or ten games they've gone through.
Already. And that's why Burns and Coach Keats said they continue to win because they didn't have breaks. There's been a little bit of time off now in the 2 weeks that they've really played back-to-back games. And I think that's one of what sets it up, and they can be rested for this game. I just think it's got to be somebody other than the DJs, and I think that's where Middlebrook comes in. I don't think this will be a route, but I think Zach Edey and these guys will win this second round game this year instead of like losing last year to San Diego State.
Yeah, it's only a 9-point favorite for Purdue in this one, which surprised me.
That is surprising. So
that low.
The breaking news I was going to tell you about is something we talked about coming down here. I was going to ask John Daly, does Arkansas fire Eric Musselman? They don't. The Southern Cal Trojans just came in and poached him.
Oh, wow.
He is the new head coach at the University of and it says right here, the Arkansas bosses at Shaker. Now they're trying to look, like I said, because it says they poach, you know, Musselman away. So we were talking about him getting fired. He just came in and flat just stole that guy. So just like the USC, we knew they were the thieves. They're not the real USC we are. So let me throw my punch in about that one. So now, you know, they found their coach to replace Andy Enfield. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm Arkansas, Andy Enfield's not a bad basketball coach. There was a Southern Cal. I'm not going to say that you replace him with him, but that's weird because, you know, I was just talking about Musselman and his troubles this year with player injuries and stuff. And that ain't take that off my – well, no, I can just leave it on there for Daly. That really may get him fired up right there, though.
No, it might. He may come over and say that we're going to start with that.
Yeah, he may. I mean, that's fine. Well, do you want to start with that or Petrino? Which one? So, I mean, there's so many fire. I know how to fire that, start that match so many ways. But interesting times, man, and that's just the first. So now Southern Cal's looking for a coach. Who do they poach? They come get Brownell? I'm kidding. That's how, and this is not April Fool's, by the way.
That's so. Not about.
Speaking on that really fast, before we go, I know we got to go. But
well, I got something else, too.
Oh, so. Go ahead, then.
No.
We talked about the possibility of P.J. Hall and a couple other players that played really well for the Tigers this year. You know you're going to lose Gerard and the Lake kid, or whatever his name is. I apologize for brutalizing it. You're the name guy, and I'm not. But there is a chance PJ, he does have a COVID year. The opportunity the way he went out this year for you is probably enough. I think if he comes back and he does what he did this year and even a little bit better, would increase his stock a little bit more than if he goes this year. But I haven't sat down and looked at who I was leaving at that position that it would either help him or hurt him. But there, you know, Shire, you know, we know Ian's going too, but who was the other kid I told you? The one that I didn't know, Jack. From Clemson, play center. He was a transfer in. But the other one we were talking about is Chase Hunter, who does his freshman year he played less than 33%. So they could pursue a medical redshirt on that one. I didn't say the story when the break-in popped on me. I lost that. But Chase Hunter's another one that you could get back, Tom, for another year just because of medical redshirt, and then you have a possibility for COVID if you're. If you are, Coach, how do you feel about this? Because you went from losing 3 to 4 players now to maybe losing only 2.
Jack Clark.
You've got three or four guys coming in off the recruiting trail. So, you know, what Stan was talking about with the going out hitting the portal because you're going to need some players, there's a possibility you're not going to need as many as you thought you need. I mean, but if you could get PJ to come back, what that does for Coach is it gives him the opportunity to say, I need a shooter. I need a pure Gerard again and go to Portal again and find that guy. If you don't have him coming in, I think there's 4 guys coming in this year that are pretty good players that can instantly impact your team. But just reading that Clemson article today, which was off one of your sites, Tiger or something, that's interesting to know that you could do that. And I think if you are PJ, you ask your parents and say, hey, what do you think? Because I know he depends on his mom and dad a lot. I know he depends on Coach Brownell a lot. But good thing, bad thing, possibility of getting a PJ Hall back. Or would you rather see him test the waters?
I'd love to have him back. I'd love to see Brownell use him more as a true center or forward.
Right.
I mean, rather more than from a guard position or strictly offensive.
Or strong forward. Yeah. He played more of a strong forward. I'd like to see him play more of a like you say, a strong forward and get a center. I didn't look at the three guys coming in. I mean, but there again, center is a position you can go after. I just thought it was cool there was a possibility to get PJ back and Chase Hunter, too. And then the little Hunter, we didn't even talk about him the other day, but he just come out. No, I didn't know he was on the team. And he comes in and has a big game. What, 6 points?
Yeah.
First 6 points in Clemson or something like that. But, but yeah, I just wanted to tell you about that before I forgot about it.
Good deal. Well, we're going to stay in Clemson because this weekend, Saturday, 1 o'clock, big game. You got the orange and white game, the spring game at Memorial Stadium. And it's going to be fun because you got Garrett Riley taking on
The new man.
The new
what's the old new man. Oh, crap. It's still Wes Godwin, right?
Yeah, still Wes Godwin.
It's still Wes Godwin.
So you got them taking on. They're going to be coaching against each other. This will be fun, too, because you're also going to have starting quarterbacks on each side to go along with it. And from what I understand and what everything Dabo Swinney has said is that there has been a fantastic competitiveness spring. For the starting job in the spring.
I think for both coaches, Garrett and for Dabo, I think that's what Dabo especially need to see this. I mean, we talked about it last year, man. I felt like the quarterback you had in play was a really good player in play. I think he did the things you needed to win games, and I still think, you know, it's interesting to see what you do now and who you do put more of. I don't know, who do you put the more pressure on in this thing? Is it going to go to Cade or is it going to go to
Venezina?
Yeah, Venezina or Hyman.
You know, Christopher Venezina, I think Venezina probably is the one that's pushing. The pressure isn't on him. He's trying to get that starting job. Cade's trying to keep that starting job in the process. I don't know how much progress Cade has made. When you hear all the talk about, you know, the scrimmages that we've had and what's going on at practice-wise, it's all about the progress that the backups have made and how much better they're getting, not to mention the freshmen and how they're starring as of right now as well. So I'm anxious to see some of these new freshman wide receivers that are coming in and how they're going to end up doing. But, I think Christopher can, you know, I think he's the one with the cool head and has the better, path as of right now in the spring game.
I think, well, a lot of times I think a lot of coaches are going to expect more out of who played last year and who didn't, your starters or whatever. I'm just really upset that one receiver I had coming in was going to be really good as a freshman. He went down with an injury, and I don't know that he won't be back for this game. So he's your tall guy. I think he's like 6'4", 6'5", but right. he got the injury, and hopefully he comes back well. But it's going to be exciting. I mean, I think, you know, I like Garrett Riley. If Clemson offensively doesn't do what he's done the past 2 years, I mean, does Dabo pull the plug and go with somebody else? I don't think he does. I mean, his offense is prolific, and I like it. I mean, he's done really good things the two places he's been. I just don't think the fans like that style of play. They want to run the ball, and I just don't know. As a Gamecocks, we won't see that old running gun type stuff we used to do. I'd like to see him throw the ball a lot more, but he's going to have receivers and a tight end to do it.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun is watching an offensive coach take on a defensive coach, vice versa, because each of them are going to have to coach, you know, what they're not used to. They're going to have to come up with a defensive game plan. They're going to have to come up with an offensive game. And can Wes do that offensively? Can he find, one of the other coordinators or coaches to help him out with that?
From experience as a Patriots fan.
Jeff Scott, could he help out?
Yeah, and that's what you're going to see. Yeah. I was going Patriots for one reason. I remember firing an offensive coordinator to hire a former defensive coordinator to be the offensive coordinator for New England, 3 years ago? Didn't work out too well, but it'll be interesting. I know you're going to have your whatever quarterback you're going to have. One of them is going to be your favorite, orange or white, whichever one you like the best. But, yeah, I think Coach Godwin can come up with some plays. Does he go back more to a run and let, you know, Riley throw the ball? I'm going to go back to old Tiger football and see if I can't run this ball three clouds, you know, three runs cloud of dust type deal and score on the ground and just take that way. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, what will Garrett Riley do defensively? Because I think you would agree that normally when you have these games, defense is already 100% ahead of the other team.
Well, but the thing with Clemson is they don't go ones against ones.
Right.
They break them up. Yeah.
That would be an interesting to go to. We don't do that in Columbia. I think that's something we made you think about doing. That would be a little more interesting, but get a lot more people out and more excitement for that game. But I think it'll be fun. I just would not be stunned if whatever that defensive man, Wes Godwin's coaching, does win that game. And the way he wins it. He might throw something at Garrett and say, man, you know, you need to run the ball a little bit more.
Try this.
You need to run the ball more with these guys. And then Garrett come back and say, well, you know, you need to stop these passes. So.
All right. Well, that should be fun to watch and talk about a little bit on Sunday as well. Remember, we're going to be down there in Augusta as it'll be, what, the par three going on Sunday?
No, it'll just
that's
be.
That's Tuesday.
That's Wednesday, actually. But, yeah, we're just going down. We got invited back down, and we want to get – I like to get as close to it as I can. I like to be there on a Sunday because the girls' championship doesn't usually start at 9 o'clock. Let's just go ahead and – who'd ever made that decision? That's crazy. So they're usually early afternoon games or at worst, you know, 6 o'clock. But didn't realize it was that late, Tom Carroll. So I'm going to have to write you a pass and see if your wife will sign it or not.
Let me stay out. All right.
We'll see.
All right. We've enjoyed being with you. We'll see you on Sunday. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the games. He's Chris Cox. I'm Tom Carroll. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys.